Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and you can be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call now. The lines are open at 844-322-2742. That's the number for the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
We do have open lines right now, and we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. 844-322-2742 is the number. That's 844-32-BASIC. Call right now, ask your question, and we will direct you into the Word of God. So come on, be a part of Basic Gospel today. We do have some email questions that we're going to address and really excited about the content of those. They are both out of the book of Romans, and no better place to spend some time than the book of Romans. So we're gonna tackle those, and we would love to tackle your question as well. Quick note, we utilize YouTube as one of our channels to reach people, and we have a wonderful YouTube channel, the Basic Gospel channel, and we would love to invite you to participate there, to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We release short videos on various subjects. We have like 30 questions, some of the most difficult questions from the Word of God and answers to those. We have teaching series. There's all kinds of information that can help you grow in your relationship with the Lord Jesus through the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. We also stream our radio broadcast there live each and every day. So if you would like more resources, more video resources to help you, go to our Basic Gospel YouTube channel. And you can get there by going to basicgospel.net and clicking on the YouTube link, and it will take you right to our Basic Gospel channel. Subscribe, and every day you'll be updated when we offer new videos. So come be a part of that. We're really excited. We've seen that grow significantly over the last year, and we want to see that grow even more. But today we're going to talk about a verse out of the book of Philippians. And Richard, I remember years ago when my life was really getting turned around and I was really starting to grow and understand what this gospel message was as related to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and the fact that I had gained not only forgiveness of sins, but Christ had come to live in me. When that truth really started to hit home, boy, I just couldn't get enough of the Word of God. And so I was involved in this Bible study, and the teacher, he was just phenomenal. Young guy, ended up tragically being killed in an a plane accident, flying from one Bible study to another area to teach another one. It just devastated all of us. But before he died, one of his last messages was on the philosophy of Paul. What drove Paul? What really made him tick as a human being? And this verse in Philippians was the verse that this teacher pulled out and said, this is what made Paul tick. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. And it's short, it's very simple, it's very direct, and it simply says this: for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So when Paul came to Christ, he recognized that whether he lived or whether he died, he was in a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. Through life, he was going to get to know Jesus, was going to grow in his grace, and he was going to be able to voice that good news to as many people as God brought his way. That was life for the Apostle Paul. And he wrestled with staying here or going to be with the Lord. Why? Because he knew when he went to be with the Lord, it was going to be even better, being in the very presence of God. Now, I believe that this is a verse that really gives us some purpose in life. And that purpose is tied to our identity. One of the reasons that identity is such a huge issue for every single human being, it's not just for some, it is for every single human being that has ever taken a breath. They are looking for purpose in life. Well, they're looking for identity. And once they find identity, then purpose flows from that. So when we discover who we are, then we can realize what our purpose is. And here Paul states his purpose: for me to live is Christ, and everything that that means. It means growing in that relationship with Christ, getting to know Christ, growing in his grace, and then allowing Christ to live his life through you, through Paul, is what he was saying, so that he could be a vessel to communicate this good news to people wherever he was, whether it was in prison. When he was in prison, how would you like to have been one of those Roman guards or one of the guards at the Philippian jail when Paul was there? We've got to shut this guy up. He keeps telling us about this Jesus character, the fact that he was raised from the dead. And, man, maybe this guy's a little fruity, but he's saying it with such a passion and persuasiveness, and it makes me want to think about what he's saying. I mean, that's how Paul lived his life. That was the purpose that was driving him, the Roman guards as well, and just in every single city. Man, he just came in and just laid it out there for what it was. He didn't shrink back. He didn't try to sugarcoat it. He just told the story of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and presented the invitation to receive this Jesus as Lord and God. And it was not without trials and tribulations. It was not without persecution. But this internal purpose drove him through all of those various trials and tribulations that he dealt with on a day-to-day basis. I mean, he faced death almost daily.
Yeah.
And yet this internal drive to tell the story of Jesus propelled him through each and every one of those. And it's just such a powerful, powerful story. And I'm glad this verse is in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where God is leading each and every one of us, to this particular philosophy. I know many of us would read this verse and say, yeah, that's my philosophy. That's my purpose in life. But when persecution comes, I kind of shrink back. I don't let this internal purpose drive me through those things. And God says, that's okay. I'm still working on you. I'm mm-hmm. still completing the work that I began. But this is where I want to take you. And there's some excitement in that. And so look at this verse, folks. It's a wonderful verse. I encourage you to commit it to memory and say to the Lord, move me in this direction. Let me be able to say with utmost confidence and with intense purpose, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain.
Yeah.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher here with Richard Pfeiffer today, and we certainly welcome you to the program as well. If you have a question, and we do have some callers on the line, and we'll get to you in just a few minutes, 844-322-2742 is the number, 844-322-2742. Call with those questions right now. This month we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It is called The Real You. This quest for identity drives every single one of us. Every single person on planet Earth is trying to figure out who they are. Well, there's only one way to really find an identity that is unshakable, immovable, that is eternal, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. So we want to help you discover the real you. We want you to be able to come to grips with who you are in Jesus Christ and learn to live as a child of God. You will be blessed beyond measure when you do this. So we want to put this resource in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Go to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate button and just follow the instructions there. And when you get down to the end, be sure and request your copy of The Real You, and we'll get it to you as quickly as we possibly can. If you don't use internet and would like to make a phone call, we encourage you to call right now as well. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Well, Richard, let's start in Denver, Colorado, and talk with Sean, listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks, and God bless for what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you, Sean. Yeah,
thank
nice
you.
to Nice to hear from you today. What's on your mind?
Yes. Well, I want to ask you your professional opinion and godly opinion. Why do you think the left wants to impeach Trump? What has he done? And so, as a believer, we have to inquire God first, you know, for everything, whether it's about how we deal with our laws and so on, or whatever. But it just seems you have such hatred. And I always bring up, well, not a lot of times I'll bring up with Saul, when the people, we want a king. I got a king for you. We want a king. I got a king. And God told Samuel, they're not mad at you. Give them your king. But it just seems like, you know, we get someone, and whether it's a governor, president, whoever, but we get them in position, then they don't do what we're supposed to. They don't do what people want them to do. They get mad and say, well, that's why we got to put God first, you know, in everything we do. You know, the laws and stuff are not going to stop shootings or rapes off until we put God first. But I just wanted to get your opinion of what you think about why are they so bent on, you know, impeaching them and just everything, the littlest thing, they want to pick on some of his family.
Well, Sean, I can't really answer exactly, you know, why does each and every person on the left, but here's kind of a general answer. I mean, we are in a clash of philosophies like never before in this country, and we've always feared external forces that might change us or rob us of our freedom, but it's really the internal struggle that's happening that is our biggest peril that we face. And so the left, the philosophy of the left, is really becoming a religion in and of itself. And so what we're seeing is a clash of religious thinking, Judeo-Christian values versus progressive left values. And I think Trump is just a firebrand right in the middle of that. Yes. So I think that's why the left would be certainly attacking him. But let's not just get caught up in the attack of Trump. Let's look at it from a much bigger perspective. This is really a clash of philosophies, a clash of belief system. And
that's why I brought up Saul. Same thing. They wanted a king. I got a king for you. I'm your king. God is.
Yes.
So he said, okay, well, he started doing good, but then down the line he deviated from God again. Yeah. When we don't follow.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Sean. And I think.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
from a Christian perspective. We certainly need to pray for our leaders. That's what we're called to do, to be praying for our leaders. But we also need to be like the men of Issachar, who recognized the signs of the time. And I think if we are discerning as believers in Christ, we will recognize that this is a time to boldly proclaim Jesus, to stand in the gap. There's this gap between the different philosophies, and to be able to stand in that gap and proclaim Jesus, to show folks a different way, to talk to people about this good news story, the fact that Jesus died for our sins according to scriptures, the fact that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised to life according to scriptures. I think the time is unprecedented as far as the power that story can have in saving individuals and reshaping our culture at large. So let's recognize the times. Let's recognize this intense conflict between philosophies, and then let's come in there boldly proclaiming this good news of Jesus and leave the results of that in God's hands.
And if I could, real quick, that's where it comes through the church. We do need to stand up more. I mean, you've heard us, I've mentioned that what they say, 90% of people claim to be Christian, but when you break it down to what they actually believe, lining up to the word, it's only 26% to 25%, and so, which again, you said the church has to stand up and stand for God's word, not our what we think or what feels. But we got to stand up for God's word.
And that's
every
right.
Aspect of life. Yeah,
that's right. God's word is what's needed, and God's word is the story about Jesus. That's what's needed in this world today. Let's boldly proclaim him and leave the results of that in God's hands. This is no time for us to shrink back. This is time for us to take our stand on this gospel and draw people to him. So,
and I was not all of them, but and like I said, it's just so many areas too. I'm 53 years old. I'm born and raised. I'm a black American. But I've never seen so much hatred in this country for so many things.
I know. It's
we kick God to the curb and say, okay, God, we believe you, but we're going to do what we want.
Yeah, it's discouraging to see what's happening in America today. And it really is. And it really does get down to those two philosophies just clashing with one another. And utilizing every single little issue as a point to get that battle stirred up even more. So we just need to be aware of it and keep lifting up Jesus.
Yeah, and people have to be willing to want to see truth and hear it and accept it too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So, Sean, thanks for your call today. It's great to hear from you, my friend.
God bless you guys, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, thank you. We sure appreciate that. That was a great question.
Yeah. there was a movie several years ago where it featured a dog, and whenever somebody said squirrel, the dog just goes charging off, you know, just off. That is what Satan is doing to the church these days, and the magic word is politics.
Yes.
We say politics, somebody says politics, and the church just goes wandering off.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on Jesus and letting him speak to politics. I mean, politics exists where people exist. It's just the fact
of life. It's part of life, yes.
But why do we get so enamored with it? Let's keep our eyes on Jesus and let him speak into the situation.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's tackle one of these email questions, Richard.
Yeah. I was going to go to one and... based on what we were just talking about, I'm going to go to the second one. Can you tell me what the first chapter of Romans is all about?
Well, there's different aspects of the first chapter of Romans. They're setting the stage for the entire book, that there is a righteousness that is given to us apart from the law, and that it's in this gospel message that is the power of salvation, the fact that God is going to declare us righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. Now he sets this up, and then he takes a step back and says, "All right, let's talk about some truth. There's information out there about God that everybody is aware of. Yes. Nature declares it. So the invisible attributes of God are made known through nature." And we see some specifics about God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. And so he's going to talk to us about the very nature of the world system.
Yeah.
So when Adam and Eve sinned, a world system was introduced. Before that, it was simply God and mankind. And man functioned in dependence upon his creator. And we reflected the very essence of our creator in all that we did.
Yeah.
That's what mankind was like before sin entered the picture. And then Satan, who is in control of this world system, when he stood at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he made that tree look desirable to Eve like it had never looked before. And she ate of it, and Adam ate of it. And they fell. They sinned. Fear entered the hearts of man, and this world system was established. The desires, the things that we have, the desires of the flesh, the pride of life, those are all the elements that make up this world system. And if we look in nature, we just look at life, we realize that God's wrath is being revealed against that, and has been since the very beginning. And so we're not to be you know, caught off guard. We're not to have blinded eyes to that. And yeah, that's what he's saying.
We shouldn't be surprised.
Right. But here's what the world system tries to do. It suppresses the truth. And we see that in the clashes of philosophy out there in the world today.
Yes.
We see one side trying to suppress the truth. And that's just part of their game plan. And then it says, for what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to him. For his invisible attributes, his eternal power, divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world. So they are without excuse. Nobody can say, if only I had known. Boy, God is making himself known. You know that he exists, and you either want to get to know him or you don't. And those who want to suppress the truth, those who want to deny their unrighteousness, they're not interested in knowing God. And so what he's saying in this is that at a point in time, he just turns them over to their evil inclinations. Mm-hmm. And they experience the full weight of the consequences of that, not only in eternal death, but the consequences of sin here and now. And we see some of that here in this particular passage. But the things that are most importance in this particular passage is the fact that they suppress the truth, they exchange the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and lusts. And it says, although they knew God, they chose to not give him thanks.
Yeah.
So there's this just overcoming of humanity in this particular passage of pride. And that pride is at the heart of the sinful man and is at the heart of the consequences sin brings about in this world today and brings us to a point and causes us to raise our fist to Almighty God and say, I don't care who you are, what you're all about, I'm doing it my way. And God simply says, okay, I'm going to give you over and see mm-hmm. what your way is all about. And it's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good. And yet this isn't a passage of judgment. It's a statement of fact.
Yes.
The offer that there is a righteousness apart from law, this gospel that's found in the gospel, that is the way out. And Paul goes on. I mean, he describes the world system. Then he gets into religion, and in particular Jewish religion. And we discover that religion is no different. And
right.
Both groups need Jesus. And there's the hope. If this were just judgment, he'd be shaking his fist at people and saying, well, if you don't do this, God's going to burn you up.
Yes.
He doesn't say that ever.
No, he
just
doesn't.
Says, come to Jesus. He's done all the work. Acknowledge him. In humility, accept him. And watch how your life changes.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's quickly go to Waco and talk to Curtis. Hi, Curtis.
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Doing okay.
I'm having trouble understanding this Apostles' Creed and why we even have it. It just sprung up on me all of a sudden from a pastor I've been listening to for a long time, and he wants to say it at the beginning and the end of services, and you know, he wants everybody to recite it, and the words, you know, when it gets down to, and I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, those words just stick in my mouth. I cannot say those words. I don't.
Well, what the creed Catholic is talking about there, Curtis, Catholic in the sense of universal.
Yeah.
So it's not, the creed is not talking about the Catholic Church, the Pope and the Vatican and the Roman Catholic Church. The word Catholic in that particular creed is simply talking about the universal church, every born-again believer that has been added to the body of Christ. So that's what that creed is all about. But I understand what you're saying there, Curtis, and hopefully that will help you. But we appreciate the call. Thank you so much. Well, we're out of time,
yeah.
Man. This half hour flew by. Well, for Richard Pfeiffer and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Christopher. We'll be back tomorrow with another live edition. If you have questions that you would like to ask, jot this number down, 844-322-2255. 2742. And remember, Basic Gospel is listener supported. We would greatly appreciate your partnership. All the information on how you can join the Basic Gospel team is at basicgospel.net.